Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Today we have a special guest with us, Patty Mansfield, and she's going to talk to us about Mother Teresa, but from a very particular aspect. You know, the whole world kind of is fascinated by Mother Teresa and what she did, and at the same time a little confused about what's really going on there. And Patty's going to talk about the spiritual secrets of Mother Teresa. Patty, welcome back.
Thank you, Ralph. It really is a joy to speak about Mother Teresa of Calcutta, because I've been an admirer of hers for many, many long years, but only since her death. And in the process of looking at her life, has it come to light that this woman had many spiritual secrets. And in some of the works that have been published by those who were close to her, spiritual directors, we find out that there were communications between Jesus and Teresa that really undergirded this tremendous apostolic work she did. As I've read her life, as I've read some of her words, as in this beautiful book, Thirsting for God, just a yearbook of prayers, meditations, and anecdotes about Mother Teresa, I've come up with four phrases from Mother Teresa of Calcutta that in some ways summarize her spiritual secrets. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about each one. Very simple. I thirst, I pray, I smile, and I love. I thirst. When Mother Teresa was already a religious for some years, she was a sister of Loretto. She was on a train in India. The date was September 10th, 1946, just a few months before I was born, as a matter of fact. And as she was on this train ride, just in her own disposition of being open to God, she was a very, very good and holy religious, Jesus began to speak to her. And over the next months, he revealed to her that he wanted her to make a step. He gave her what she called a call within a call. And he asked her to found an order of sisters, of Indian sisters, who would work with the poorest of the poor. There was a particular phrase that he spoke to her that really captivated her and is a phrase that's very dear to the missionaries of charity. And it is the words of Jesus from the cross, I thirst. In every convent where there are missionaries of charity right next to the crucifix, you will see those words, I thirst. And what Jesus revealed to Teresa was that he was thirsting for love. And he was thirsting for souls. And he was thirsting for women who would be willing to serve him with the poorest of the poor. He told Teresa, I want you to bring me into the holes and into the hovels where there are children who are being corrupted, who are being neglected. I want you to go and to find the dying and the lost. Well, as much as she loved Jesus, she was very frightened by this call. In fact, she told him that surely he could find someone better than herself, someone more generous, someone holier. But he continued to speak to her these words, I thirst. And he reminded her of a special vow that she had made about 4 years earlier. She was on retreat and she felt like she wanted to do something, she said, very beautiful for God. And with the permission of her spiritual director, she made a private vow. Now, none of this was known until after her death as her cause was being promoted. In 1942, she made a special vow, and it was a vow, and I quote, to give Jesus anything he may ask, not to refuse him anything. And so the Lord, as he was calling her to found the Missionaries of Charity, reminded her of this promise she had made never to say no to him. And he kept repeating to her, will you refuse me now? Will you refuse me now? When Mother Teresa submitted this to her spiritual director and to the bishop and finally was given permission, she left the Sisters of Loretto, and she said she stepped out into this new mission, this new call, putting all of her trust in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This desire to quench the thirst of Jesus pushed her, you might say, beyond human limits to do so many wonderful works on behalf of the poor. First, I thirst. Second, I pray. When I was reading this book, Thirsting for God, I mean, there's so many spiritual jewels in here. One reflection is more beautiful than the next, but the one that captured me the most is recorded on August 24th. And it's in answer to a question Mother Teresa was asked, Mother, what is your secret? And here's her answer. My secret is simple. I pray. My secret is simple. I pray. Brothers and sisters, I underlined that. And honestly, I've been pondering it since then. Here is this great woman of God. And she's saying, not just to the person who asked her the question, but to the whole world, pray. Pray. Come close to Jesus. Come to know him in a personal way, as a friend, as a bridegroom, as a lover, as a master, as a teacher. She insisted and continues through her sisters to insist on an hour before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament every day. She said to the missionaries of charity, our work would be just like the work of a social worker if we did it simply as work. But she said to them, we must pray the work. We must be with Jesus, hearing his thirst, giving him our love, and quieting our spirits before him so that we'll have the energy, the grace, the tenderness to go out and care for the poorest of the poor. I pray. The third phrase, I said, I thirst, I pray. The third, I smile. You know, I remember hearing an anecdote about Mother Teresa, maybe some of you have heard it, that she would say to married people, because of course not everyone's called to be a missionary of charity, but you see, this saint is given, this great woman of God, now a blessed, is given to us in the world, not just to form nuns, but to give a spirituality, a teaching for the universal church. Well, married people would say to her, Mother, you know, you say that we should smile at those in our homes. But you see, my husband isn't too easy to smile at. And Mother Teresa answered, and her response, which always drew a laugh, was, well, I'm married to Jesus, and sometimes it's not easy to smile at him either. What we've come to see since the secrets of her soul, hidden aspects of her interior life have been revealed, is that although she heard Jesus speaking in the depths of her heart when she founded the Missionaries of Charity, almost as soon as she stepped into this new call, she entered into a profound darkness. And for the whole of her public life, while she was speaking before kings and presidents and traveling the world and getting the Nobel Peace Prize, she, in her interior life, was in a deep and profound darkness, longing for God, loving God, spending time in prayer, working tirelessly. But in her own interior life, she felt rejected by God. She felt the absence of God. She felt like heaven was closed to her. This, my brothers and sisters, makes the smile of Mother Teresa a much more beautiful expression of the deep faith and the mortification, the self-emptying of this woman. This kind of a spiritual darkness, this dark night of the soul, as John of the Cross described it, is meant for purification. But in the case of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, it's also a way that she shared very intimately with her beloved, who on the cross, when he said, I thirst, felt that abandonment, that isolation from God, trusting all the while in his Father, but experiencing the alienation that sinners experience. In this, Mother Teresa is very much like the one whose name she chose, Thérèse of Lisieux, who for the last 18 months of her life experienced this terrible, terrible darkness. And Thérèse said, and this is true of Teresa of Calcutta also, that she loved Jesus so much she wanted to sit at the table with sinners to in some way experience their pain and their sense of alienation. This smile of Mother Teresa hides the suffering that it was present in her life. And she used to say to her sisters, without revealing the darkness she was in, everyone around her thought she was enjoying these wonderful consolations and glorious peace. She said, "We should aim to give whatever he asks and to take whatever Jesus gives with a smile." When the tapestry of Mother Teresa was revealed when she was beatified with a crowd of 300,000 in Rome, they said that the particular image of Mother that was revealed was Mother with this beautiful, radiant smile. She really wanted to be an apostle of joy. And she says in her writings, joy is a decision. It's not easy. It's not simply a matter of temperament, but if you love Jesus, then you will want to radiate his joy. So I thirst, I pray, I smile, and then finally, I love. Mother Teresa is known the world over and admired, not just by Catholics or by Christians, but by people of every faith and by no faith, as being a real missionary of charity, of love. And she speaks to us who are not doing missionary work with the poorest of the poor, that we need to bring this kind of understanding love, this tender love, into our own homes, smiling at our spouses, listening to our children, being willing to forgive. So much of what Mother Teresa teaches has to do with forgiveness and with humility, not to be so quick to criticize. She says in this book, Thirsting for God, you know, often what spoils a family, what spoils a community, what spoils a parish, what spoils any good work is gossip and criticism, tearing down rather than building up. She's known the world over for being an advocate for life. And she spoke very powerfully even before those government officials who are destroying life through abortion and said, "Give me your children, I'll care for them." Mother Teresa has so much to say to us today, and the beautiful thing that we experience in the communion of saints is that when we look to a woman like Mother Teresa, we're not only looking to her teaching as an example to us, but we're also looking to her living intercession. Those who turn to Mother Teresa are experiencing answers to their prayer. I want to just close with one thing I learned, and I learned it from Father Benedict Rochelle. After his accident, I read that he had his friars gather round his bed and pray a novena taught to him by Mother Teresa. And the novena is 9 memorares, memorare attributed to St. Bernard. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary. You know the prayer. If not, you can look it up. Well, this express novena, 9 memorares right in a row, were prayed by the friars around the bed of Father Benedict. Well, brothers and sisters, in preparing for this program, this teaching to you, I remembered Mother Teresa and her express novena, and our family had a big, big need, family need, personal need. We and one of our children began this express novena of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And brothers and sisters, we received such a huge answer to prayer that I know was the grace of Our Lady, but I believe Mother Teresa of Calcutta had a hand in obtaining that great grace and answer to prayer.
Well, Patty, that was good, because those spiritual secrets of Mother Teresa are spiritual secrets that we can appropriate also.
Yes. When Jesus says, "I thirst," he is thirsting not only for the souls of the poorest of the poor, but he's thirsting for every soul, for your soul, for my soul, for the souls of the people who are listening. And how do we quench his thirst? By loving him, by speaking to him. You know, she's referring to Jesus on the cross, but the two Teresas who preceded her, Teresa of Avila and Thérèse of Lisieux, were very captivated by the passage in John 4 where Jesus meets the woman at the well. And there, too, he says, he's thirsty. Give me a drink. And in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in the section on prayer, we read that in that scene at the well, the thirst of God for our love meets our thirst to know love. Mm-hmm. So the thirst of God and the thirst of man and woman come together. And what we see in that scene in John 4 is the woman who encounters Jesus and quenches his thirst and has her thirst quenched, then becomes an evangelizer. Immediately she goes and she says, come meet a man who's told me everything I've ever done. And this is the message of Mother Teresa also, that if we encounter the thirst of Jesus in prayer, we will have to, we will be impelled to do something about it, mm-hmm. to share it.
Yeah. It makes me think of something that Teresa of Avila said. She said that one of the things that holds people back from growing in union with God is lack of desire mm-hmm. or lack of thirst. And then she encourages people. She says, let your thirst grow. Let your desire grow. You know, dare to believe that God's calling you to be a saint. You know, just dare to believe that he really wants to be completely and intimately united with you. And so we can actually ask God to increase our thirst, to increase our desire for God. You know, so many times Teresa of Avila says, well, if you don't have it, ask God for it. He'll give it to you. You know, so don't, you know, there's nothing that's an obstacle that can't be turned into an opportunity.
Yes.
So if you don't have enough thirst for God, and if you're not really perceiving God's thirst for you, ask him to help you to perceive that thirst, to know how much he wants you and to let your desire for him grow.
In this, you mentioned Teresa of Avila lived back in the 1500s, but in this time since Vatican II, the Church is teaching about the universal call to holiness.
Yeah.
You've preached on it so much. And in this new millennium, holiness is for everyone. Holiness is where it's at. Holiness has to be the foundation of everything we do in the Church. And Mother Teresa has this beautiful line, which is that holiness is not the luxury of the few, but it's simply a duty.
Mm-hmm.
And that the foundation of all holiness is prayer.
And that gets us to her second secret.
That's right.
When people ask Mother Teresa, what's your secret? How do you do what you're doing? She said, I pray.
I pray. And, you know, we can see that for her, prayer wasn't easy. There was a time when it was a joy, was easy, but then a long time when it was painful. And I think this is, I know it's an important lesson for me, Ralph, the need to persevere.
Yeah.
The need to persevere, to push through.
Yeah.
We're in this for the long haul.
Yeah, absolutely.
God wants to make us saints. He wants to make us holy. And that doesn't happen in a day. It happens
right.
in a lifetime.
Yeah.
And he'll give us as much time as is needed for us to get holy. So we need to hang in there. We need to be faithful. When prayer becomes difficult, when it's dry, that's the time to strengthen our commitment that we're going to be there with him. In prayer, we're going to pick up the scripture. We're going to pray the rosary. We're going to do the spiritual reading. We're going to be silent. Even when we don't feel the consolation, Mother Teresa teaches that. My secret is simple. I pray, but in her, I smile. We see prayer in suffering, prayer in real life. And sometimes we look at these people who have done such marvelous works for God, and we think that somehow they're living in a, you know, this different reality than we are. But they have
that they're a different
too.
Breed of person or something.
Yeah, they get tired. They get irritable. In fact, when Mother was saying to Jesus, I don't know, can't you find somebody better? He says to her, I know that you're sinful and I know that you're weak and that's why I'm calling you. When I read that, I thought, wow, Jesus said that. I know you're sinful.
Hey,
I know you're
qualified.
And that's why I'm calling you. And then when she opened her first house, she in her personal journal, she wrote, tears are flowing, Jesus, but now, oh, the struggle with the temper.
Mm.
I don't think of Mother Teresa as having a problem with anger or with the temper, but in her own words, the problem with the temper.
Yeah.
A real live human being who was made holy by being faithful to inspiration. And I think this is Father Cantala Mesa preached his Advent sermons, I guess, in 2003 on holiness in the life of Mother Teresa. And he devoted one whole sermon to faithfulness to inspiration. Just think of what would have happened or what wouldn't have happened if Mother resisted that inspiration God gave her.
Yeah. You know, as Francis de Sales says, that one of the signs of the devout life is a promptness in responding to the inspirations of the Lord, you know, to when the Lord's communicating something to you to do it, you know.
Yes.
And that's really one of the signs of living in that relationship. Yes. of holiness. Yeah.
There's a story that Mother Teresa was in St. Patrick's Cathedral when Cardinal O'Connor was, you know, there on one occasion, and he saw her, and she approached him, and she said to him straight out, "Give God permission. Give him permission to use you without consulting you." What a message.
Yeah.
Without sort of like decide ahead of time.
Yeah.
That you're going to trust, a mother says, you're going to trust much more in his love than in your weakness.
Yeah, I was really struck too when you shared that. I think it was something like this. She said, "I'm not going to withhold anything from Jesus."
It was a special vow she took 4 years before he called her to found the Missionaries of Charity. And, you know, she had this desire, and we see it in so many of the saints, in quotes, to love Jesus like he's never been loved before. So beautiful.
Yeah, Therese says, yes, to love Jesus unto folly.
Yes, yeah, to love Jesus like he's never been loved before, and that he wouldn't have to ask her anything twice.
That is so wonderful and so challenging. And I would like to be able to pray that prayer. You know, I think I can. And I hope I can do it even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just say to Jesus, "Jesus, I'm not going to withhold anything from you. I want to be available," you know, just like Mary, just giving over that yes to the Word of God, not understanding where it may lead or what may happen, but just that, "Jesus, I don't want to withhold anything from you, and do with me what you please."
You mentioned Mary, and she derived so much strength from Mary. So I want to share this prayer of Mother Teresa. "Mary, Mother of Jesus, give me your heart, so beautiful, so pure, so immaculate, so full of love and humility, that I may be able to receive Jesus in the bread of life, love him as you loved him, and serve him in the distressing disguise of the poorest of the poor." So what Mother Teresa was saying here is very bold. She's not saying, "Mary, I want to model my love on your love." She's saying, "Mary, give me your heart. My heart isn't sufficient. My yes isn't sufficient. My generosity isn't sufficient. But Mary, give me your heart, because your heart is so full of love and humility and surrender that it will be you strengthening me, sharing your," we call Mary full of grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. Mary, who is full of grace, like helping the kids out, helping the children out. And what's the thing she's helping us out to do? To surrender completely to Jesus.
Yeah. You know, some of the saints like John of the Cross say that the only way that we can love Jesus as he should be loved is if Jesus gives us his own love. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, give me your love that I can love you, you know, that I can love the Father, that I can have that abandonment to God's will that is so precious. Patty, thank you so much for being with us.
It's a joy.
For persevering when it's easy and when it's not so easy. And just thanks so much for continuing to follow Jesus and share it with us. Until next week, this is Ralph Martin and Patty Mansfield wishing you the very best, that you just may live a life of abandonment, of surrender, of trust, of joy, of obedience.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.